The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty, turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Hi, honey.
Hi. We sound okay, so much better.
We sound great when we're actually in a studio and not talking on those Zach Morris phones from Florida.
Yes, so professional.
Yeah, so we have a lot to get through, guys, but I want to start out this podcast by apologizing to all, 73 billion of you. I am sorry that I took a vacation. I am sorry that I did not want to call by landline in to film a podcast while on vacation. So I apologize for my mess.
I was disgruntled.
Tara was disgruntled. She basically texted, and when I said that my team was supposed to be on top of it and have sent an email saying that I was, declining for a week of podcasting, you didn't even write back after I said that.
Nope.
So I was like, poop. She's obsessed.
Silence.
Not going to touch this.
I mean, it's also, I love Jackie, and I don't know the other friends that you were actually out there with. I know that you've told me there's some of her friends.
Yes.
And I get serious FOMO sometimes. If there's,
FOMO?
Yeah.
Fear of my openness?
Yeah. No.
What is it?
Just like missing out. Fear of missing out.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So like when I see all these fun videos and laughing and I'm like sitting on the couch, wedding planning and doing other stuff, I'm just sort of like, oh, wait a minute. Wait, aren't I supposed to be there?
Oh, he doesn't need me? Well, wait, I'll show him.
Wait, where was my invite? But anyways, I was disgruntled that you didn't want to do a podcast.
Upset. Well, I mean, first of all, the connection would have been awful. I was on a Dutch island just above Venezuela, for those of you who don't know where Aruba is. I don't really even know where it is. I just learned that this week. On a clear day, you can see South America right over there.
It looked like you had a really good vacation.
I mean, here's the thing. I was really into it. It was to celebrate Jackie's birthday. And Jackie is my dear, dear friend and for my ex-cousin-in-law, but I've still retained her as cousin. But it was her birthday, so the problem beforehand was the blizzard that hit the East Coast. Like, I was literally, it was like that film Argo, where I'm just willing the plane to take off before the guards get me. We were trying to beat the snow. And then there were these, like, big guys at the airport de-icing the plane, and the snow started to fall. And I was like, let's go! Let's go! And, there was just no way around it. But everyone got there late, and it was a whole ordeal. Luckily, I'm going to say it. I'm going to throw it out there because they were really nice to me. But the Ritz-Carlton Aruba really treated this mommy right.
That's awesome.
So it was cool. I got drunk a lot, kind of every day.
I loved watching the videos because
those Insta stories.
Yeah. I mean, Jackie's coming to the wedding, but I've never met Jackie.
Yeah.
And she's your other best friend. But what's funny is when I watch
Wait,
videos.
Don't get anxious. Calm down. Calm down.
When I watch.
You're the only one.
When I watch these videos, though, it looks kind of like identical to like what we do for fun. Is it the same?
It's very different. Only you and I have that relationship.
You know what I mean.
Oh,
that's
we
why
giggle.
I can't wait to meet her.
We're stupid. We're kids. We play. Like, there was this girl, and you would have loved this and appreciated it. I wanted to, like, call and FaceTime you while it was happening, but then, too busy. Drunk. But there was this girl. Mommy was busy. And there's this girl walking on the beach, and it was the middle of the day, and she was just shite-faced. She was so drunk, and she had this big, like, hulk of a man next to her that definitely looked like a CrossFit trainer. So me being with these girls, we created her whole life story, and she became Amy. So then I started, like, giving Amy's inner monologue to Insta story, and I was like, well, you know what? Like, I collect shells and Anfernee is a key trainer at CrossFit. And it was really funny, like,
so you guys do exactly what we do.
Yeah, we do exactly what we do. Aruba was awesome. It's built up. It's not in the hurricane belt, so it's built up a bit more than a lot of the other Caribbean islands, which I love. So you don't feel like you're, intruding on this, never-to-be-touched island, like in The Happening, starring Mark Wahlberg, produced by M. Night Shyamalan. I feel like I'm supposed to be in Aruba, and I got real sunburnt. It really became a thing. I had to go to my dermatologist the day after vacation, and she was like a mommy hates it moment.
I mean,
she
was like, a little splotchy when I saw you.
Yeah, and acnified because of like the heavy sunscreen, but you're sitting on the equator, and if you are porcelain, as I enjoy being, you will get sunburnt. But yeah, vacation was glorious.
That sounded good. You know, you were talking about the plane. I had just the plane ride back was terrible. There was a lot of turbulence. And I had
from Stanford.
Yeah. I had the worst pilot. So he
Okay, the worst pilot in the world, I think, is that German Wings one that just like went nuts and flew the entire plane into the side of a mountain.
Right. Okay.
So let's not say this guy was the worst.
No, and actually he was in the end, he was a great pilot because he like didn't listen to what air traffic was saying and like told he's giving us commentary, okay? So he's like, oh, well, let me start from the top. So we get on the plane and he's like, well, the first hour is going to be great, guys, but I don't know what to tell you. It's going to get rough. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, what pilot says it like that? Usually they're like, it's going to be, you know, maybe a few light chop,
maybe we're going to fly through some chop.
No, he's like, I don't know what to tell you. It looks real bad. Real bad. As I'm looking at the monitor, I can't even see a way in.
He's like, we may not make it.
I'm like, you know me at this point, and I'm flying. I'm not with Todd Cap, so I'm immediately anxious. And what eases my anxiety is talking about my anxiety. So, like, the man next to me.
Also warm nuts.
Yes, I do like the cashews. But I start asking the man next to me, like, oh, like, hi, what's your name? Because I want to, like, strike up a conversation because I know I'm going to be holding his hand in about 10 minutes. So the pilot's just like, yeah, it looks real bad. I don't know what we're going to do. They're kind of pulling us around it, but even that doesn't look good. And then he just gets off. So I'm immediately on WhatsApp, like, Todd, like, I don't know what's happening with the plane. Like, so scared. Then it gets really bumpy. So he wasn't lying.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, the plane, like, you could hear the engines. We went, like, fast. And we went up. Like, you could feel it going, the plane going up immediately. Like, it was like, I was like, okay, so something's really wrong because – like, they know what's ahead, and we can't go through it, so they're making, like, a quick – it's not, like, a, like, slow change usually.
Yeah.
And he comes on. He's like, yeah. He's like, I told air traffic control that I wasn't listening to them, and I told them to immediately give us a different one because if we went through that, boy, you guys would be hitting the ceiling. So I was like, okay, this pilot, like, his bedside manner is not great.
Yeah. I don't wish to fly with him again, but I do wish you an extra position in the next airplane movie.
Right. But I'm like so glad you decided to ask for a different like altitude or whatever it was. But I did hold the man's hand next to me for a little while. And
amount of planes we've been on, the things that we've had to survive or thrive through, I suppose.
Oh, my God. Well, and I don't mean not really holding hands. What it is like you hit the bump and I grab his forearm.
You're just flying squirrel, reach out, yeah. And whatever you hold, whatever you grab is what you're holding on to.
And it's always good if I'm not wearing makeup, which I wasn't. I look much younger. And then they think that I'm like, you know, I always, he's like, oh, are you flying alone? Are you like, and I just play up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't like tell them the real thing. So yeah. Then they
you don't
me
have stewardesses
more...
walking you on and off, holding your hand.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my flying experience back.
Well, I mean, we were... That's not nice.
It was not
nice for him to get on and also say that he's like a complete wanton disregard for the rules that air traffic control is giving him. I once flew half the way home from Russia with one engine. Like, one engine had blown while we were in the air, and they were like, no, we're fine. We'll make it to New York. 9 hours later, when we were already 4 hours into the trip, it was just glorious. Airplanes are terrifying. It's a building, basically, on its side, being thrown from place to place.
Yeah.
And riding air currents.
Yeah, it doesn't... Does make you feel good.
Yeah. If they had the ability to also float like a duck, like ducks can float or fly. And I think that's the perfect way to be. How could they still have not found that plane, that Malaysian plane?
I don't know. Flying's so weird. Louis
I'm
C.
getting
K.
anxious. Let's not even talk
wait,
about it anymore.
Do you ever,
I can't.
Do you listen to Louis C.K.? I love him.
On what?
He's
what is
a comedian.
That? On.
I mean, you can watch his like you. Okay. I'm gonna
Mommy
be,
doesn't know. Mommy doesn't
okay,
know.
Okay. I'm going to be sending you his shows. They're hilarious. And he always does this one about flying and how everyone's like complaining, like, oh my God, my seat will go back. Like, oh my God, I can't like lay down flat. And like, where's my vodka? And oh, we're going to be 10 minutes late. And he goes into this thing and then he's like, guys, we're flying. Like, we're up 30,000 feet in the air in this metal metal thing flying through the air. Like, if you really think about it, it's insane. Like,
it's unnatural.
We're just flying in the clouds. Like,
we're
just sitting there, like, scrolling through Instagram. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, what?
It really doesn't, though, when you think about
it. No, it's so bizarre.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess we should update everyone because I feel like only six of them watched. But we were in Stamford. That's where Tara was flying from.
Yes.
We were in Stamford working, and we had to do an overnight gig because the event was coming to us live from South Korea. And there's a huge time difference. So we had to do basically a spend the night and work in the morning situation in Stamford. But you stayed in New York.
Yes, because let me tell you. In Stamford, the hotel that we stay at, we're not gonna give the name out. But
no, because it's rude. It was not the Ritz-Carlton Aruba.
Right. And yeah. We don't get adjoining rooms there. They don't have such a thing there, which is strange.
This weekend, I asked them for a quiet room at the end of the hallway because it's an old hotel and it's very loud, paper-thin walls.
It's really scary.
It's real scary. But I asked, like, the dude, and the check-in people are really not nice. And the Jamaican lady. I asked her, I was like, can I have a quiet room towards the end of one of the halls? Just because it's usually quieter and you guys have a tendency to be a party hotel on the weekends. And she was like, yeah, I'll put you at the end. So I walk towards my door and I have to be that a-hole that goes back down because it wasn't right the first time.
Right.
Because that's how I am. But I walk down and there had to be a bull mastiff in the room next to me just barking nonstop. And I didn't know if it was a joke she was playing on me, like, oh, here's a quiet room. There are no children near you, but enjoy this mastiff. Asshole is that's all I have to say about that lady.
That is amazing. So you know what happened is that hotel is, guys, I'll just, like, give you a little layout of this hotel and why it's
not
stay
nice.
Anywhere, really. I mean, but this place, oh my goodness. So it has like when
the it isn't even covers... a bad brand, everyone. It's not even like a one that you would expect to be bad.
Yeah.
But it's just bad.
But there's something about this one hotel, like, and it's so outdated and it's just so bizarre. And they have these like, it's a party hotel, but
it smells like chlorine.
Yeah. It's so strange. There's so many eerie things about this hotel. But it has, remember the, you know, those brown like sheets or like they're, it's like a brown cover, but it gets pilly. In the old hotels, like,
oh,
from
yes,
that's the cover that you sleep on there. Like,
yeah,
it's
the bed sham.
Ew, and it's like pilled, and the curtains like are moldy and smell, and you like
DNA everywhere.
Oh my god, it is not good. Remember the first time, and then I come in, and that's why I stay in New York. As if we have an overnight, I try to stay in New York
because there are no bed bugs in New York.
There's no bed bugs.
There are no semen stains in New York.
Last time I was there, remember, I was checking. Oh, you weren't with me. Terry was. I was checking in, and then this guy comes up behind me, drunk from this party hotel, and was like, "Oh, what room are you in?" And I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, looked over
the
my
party
shoulder.
Hotel.
I was like, "This is bizarre." I was afraid for my life. I told Terry, "I'm like, if I don't come for like our 5 a.m. wake up call, it's because of the man that looked over my shoulder. Like, he kidnapped me." But
I'm in the white van in the parking lot.
Yeah. So instead, I stayed with Amanda and Josh in their very nice New York apartment and had a wonderful dinner in Tribeca. And it was
lovely.
You
went to bed at a reasonable time?
Yes, I did.
Well, I mean, my evening was really eventful on our overnight. I invited you. You did, but I had a real, like, I got back to me because I was on, you know how I am with groups. And while I loved my vacation, like, it was just, it was a lot of people, and, like, I love them all, but sometimes I just need to be able to close a door, as you know well,
yes,
and just be alone. So I kind of enjoyed
mommy
it.
Mommy hates people.
Mommy hates a crowd.
Just mommy and the mastiff.
Who's a crowd? Why do you think mommy and daddy sleep separately? Mommy hates daddy. So... I had my alone day, and basically we finished work and it was still sunny out. So I was like, okay, there's this store that I've been stalking in Greenwich. And Greenwich and Stamford are worlds away in terms of who goes there. But Greenwich, it's kind of a really snooty Connecticut women in triple ply cashmere with pearl necklaces on.
Yeah, I would never fit in.
Yeah, I don't fit in. And I went there because there's this store. There's a designer, a Russian designer called Alyona Akhmadulina, and I've been stalking her and trying to figure out where she's sold. And there's one store in New York, and one store in Greenwich. So I was like, I'm going to the store in Greenwich because when I have free time, I don't sightsee. I don't like to go see museums and things. I like to find the boutiques with the stuff that I can wear for work. So I went and they were having a sale and it's called Copious Row. It's awesome. And I'd been stalking them for months. And then I had a quick bite to eat up the street by myself, full tricolor salad, Italian moment. And then I went to the movies.
The last Shades. Movie,
50 Shades Darker. And I hadn't seen a movie since you and I went to see that movie.
Girl in a Train.
Girl in a Train with Luke Evans, who's now playing Gaston. He's my lover, by
yes,
the way.
I know. You Instagrammed, you like private messaged him that night.
Very, very bold. And we'll
you
get
haven't
into
heard
you.
Back yet, but he's a very busy actor.
He's very, very busy. He's too busy to talk to just little old me. But, you know, when I find somebody attractive on TV, I don't care if it's Luke Evans, Gaston in Beauty and the Beast, or the guy in the Audi commercial for a local Audi dealership, I will stalk your ass. And I went to the movies. And essentially, like, it was a theater that I hadn't been to before, so you never really know what kind of crowd you're going to get. And my movie theater, even in my area, I don't really always know because mommy doesn't have time to go to the movies and mommy's busy finding your scrunchie that you threw under the bed. I went to this movie.
Careless daughter.
You don't appreciate anything. You know, that was 87 cents at the dollar store, that scrunchie. Do you think money grows on trees?
Mommy hates it.
Mommy definitely hates. I'm gonna give you a bob so you don't need scrunchies anymore. That's free.
Just like Dorothy Hamill.
Dorothy Hamill had one. It worked for her. She created a fad haircut. You can too. Okay, so mommy went to a movie by herself. Again, keep in mind, this is me by myself, like striking up conversation with Uber drivers because they're the only people that would talk to mommy at this point in the day. So I go to the movies and 50 Shades, like I didn't like the books that much. I kept reading them because I had to know what happened. The movies, you know, Jamie Dornan is in it, so I'll watch it. And he's shirtless most of the time. Also, there's hardcore sex scenes. And for someone who doesn't really get touched that often or ever, like, that might be the best that I have to look forward to is the S&M sex scenes with Jamie Dornan.
So you just have to wait for another year for the next release.
I just have to wait for another year. You know, I'm one of those shut-in people that definitely has full-on relationships with people in the movies because no one will touch me. But, it's just, it's not an appropriate movie for children. And I was never a normal child, nor were you,
No. Where
you go with your friends and you sneak your younger friend into the PG-13 or rated R film. So behind me in the theater, and it was a pretty empty theater, behind me there was an entire row of children. And there's nothing mommy hates more than children. because all they do is want. They're super selfish. And, you know, I knew that what I was getting into was just a row of kids every time a boob came on the screen giggling. And I wanted to enjoy the boob, not have a giggling child.
Right.
So I heard them talking and they were like just gossiping amongst each other about the other kids at school. They were talking about the youngest of the kids being 9 years old. I mean, S&M sex is not for a 9-year-old, and I'm pretty open to anything, but not a 9-year-old kid, you know, FaceTiming his biatch, as he said, watching an S&M scene. So mommy marches out to the lobby.
Kids these days.
Children these days. Because I was not about to give up my solo movie experience to listen to the peanut gallery behind me giggle at boobs. So I was like, sir, I have it under good authority that there's a 9-year-old sitting behind me for 50 Shades Darker. Could you please remove him and the people that got him in because I think it's really inappropriate? He was like, yes, ma'am. Because meanwhile, you know, I'm in the full fur getup and the hat. Yes, ma'am. I've got them. Like, I'll remove them. It's all good. So luckily I got to enjoy 50 Shades Darker by myself. You know,
no one in the theater.
No one in the theater without this row of you know,
giggling children.
Giggling children. But also I had no backup for when I left the theater. And, you know, Stanford can be pretty rough after dark. So I was like, I'm going to get mobbed and they're going to steal all my things. And I had bought a bag of Muddy Buddies, which are gummy bears covered in chocolate. And I don't want them to steal that.
No.
yeah. So it was just my night was, I think, a lot more eventful than yours. And then I had to go back to the Rape Hotel.
And the Rape Hotel, for sure. But I just, you know what, my mind started wandering just now. And, you know, you talk about how much you hate children. Just reassure me again how much you will love.
I will love your child.
Yes.
Ava, I am all in for Ava.
So, guys, Johnny has been coming up with names for
Well, because your girlfriend stole children. Scarlet.
No, Winter.
Winter.
Kelly Hurley out there.
Yep, Winter.
But Scarlet Winter is my goddaughter, so I take her as my own.
Yep. But you know what? I feel like Ava's good because it's short, because it can't be full on long name Lipinski Kapustashi. Like, it just can't. That's too many syllables.
I just don't know about Ava yet.
I love Ava.
Okay,
I love
you can call her Ava for now, but I just want to make sure that, you know, you reassure me with the love that you will have for her, because like I said, I am leaving her to you in my will if anything ever were to happen to me. So if I have 10 children and something happens to me and
I get the one.
No. Yes, that's what you get. All of them.
I will start saving for my estate and also a bouncy house now. 10 children. Wow. Wow. I will then marry a restoration doctor to fix up all that happens down beneath your underpants for 10 children popping out of there. I'm not, 10 kids. No, I'm good with just a couple. Mm-hmm. I'll start.
I'm just teasing. I really. Could you imagine having 10 children?
No, 10.
No,
10.
I can barely deal with Dublin.
No, but I will love your child unconditionally. But when I see most strangers, like, you're not a stranger. You're one of the loves of my life. And
yes.
I'm going to love your kid like it's you.
Yes.
I'll swallow the hell out of
her. The ones in the movie theater that are giggling. And
well, is that not inappropriate? Mom doesn't like a 9-year-old watching you.
It's your date night.
My solo date night. First of all, I didn't need them interrupting me. Second of all, I don't need a 9-year-old knowing what a ball gag or a flog are. And like, I hold a lot on my shoulders. I say a lot of inappropriate things, and I can deal with that. But a 9-year-old
just
knowing what Jamie Dornan is doing to that poor girl is just not up my alley.
Mommy thinks it's too much.
Mommy thinks it's too much. In the meantime, though, we gave a speech, did we not, in Florida?
We did. We were
talking about corporate and appropriate.
We were there. We actually did the podcast from there, and it sounded so crappy. So sorry, guys, just because we were on our Zach Morris cell phones. But we never got to tell you what we did afterwards. So we went, and it was this big NBC conference, as we told you, and we gave a very corporate speech. I was really worried about coming down the stairs, so Johnny held me. There were these, like, very steep, and of course, I'm in, like, the tall stilettos. And I was like, that's all I need
dressed.
To do. Yeah, we got dressed. Yeah. Allie Raisman was there.
Yeah, Allie Raisman, super sweet. She was there, very cute. We hadn't seen her since that event. Remember that thing in Washington we did?
Yes, yes.
She was there, and we met her, and she had cool shoes on then. She's a little bit more different now that she's gone through her second Olympics.
Right, grown up.
Grown up, very sweet. But we were down there basically to sing for our supper and perform for all the top execs with NBC. So they did, like, it was a meeting, but, you know, NBC is a big deal, and they did a full-on retreat to Orlando. Because, you know, NBC Universal Studios, Crocodiles, Florida.
And then they were pretty much announcing that Bob Costas was sort of handing over the torch
his
Olympic
to
torch
Mike Tirico.
I'm going to miss Bob, but we love Mike. So
we do love Mike, but he better watch his back, because that's a position that you and I are vying for.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't say that it was going to be us.
Yeah, when we, I thought there was going to be some sort
of
surprise.
Yeah, maybe for another the next one. Don't worry, Donnie.
Well, better luck next time, Tara. You know, we'll talk about all the gifts we have been given, though, by NBC, and we'll talk about Olympic moments. We're going to talk about Drano and, of course, Fan Corner when we come back right after this.
America. Across the land, a tradition stands of sports and NBC. America loves its sports. America. NBC style.
Spinning inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on.
Okay, and we're coming back, and we're talking about, I don't know, various things.
Various topics, but something before we even get into this second half. I would like to set everyone up for a little sound bite that may or may not take you back to a place in time 1998, a little girl representing many different states, Texas, Michigan, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Sugar Land. Have a listen.
This could do it. And it does. Tom Lipinski upsets Michelle Kwan.
It's so embarrassing.
It never gets old.
You know what's funny? Our producer actually has that scream on loop sometimes, and he'll just, like, play it in our ear.
And while we're commentating.
I mean, it is piercing. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know how I got that high. That was, like, a very high pitch.
Now
I was super excited.
For those of you who are listening that didn't really realize what was happening, that was Tara's reaction to winning the Olympic gold medal. Don't know if you know she did that or not, but, you know, she won the Olympics ripe old age of 15.
It was fun.
On February 20th.
I love posting it Instagram because, you know, you get these great comments. Like, you just, we post these random Instagrams every day, and it's like, the comments are sweet and nice, and you like connecting with your fans. But when you post a old photo like that, that's so, like, nostalgic, you get, you know, really amazing comments like, oh, I was 9 years old watching with my grandmother. And, like, it's just really fun to, like, go down memory lane and read all those comments. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, there's something really special about our relationship with the public now, with the public. You guys listening, you guys are the public. But anyway, our peeps, our lovers, everyone. You know, we have such a fun and frolicky and frothy sort of relationship with you all now because, I mean, we are serious commentators when we're figure skating stuff. But
right.
In general, we're pretty, you know, not serious. But
no,
to harken back to those days when we were Olympians and we actually, you know, earned it, we get really excited for that nostalgia. And what's funny, honey, is that we celebrate your goldiversary every year. But there are, like, crazy skating fans that will come out of the woodwork, like Michelle Kwan fans, essentially. And I just
so
feel
angry.
Like saying they're so angry that you made this into a holiday for yourself. But why shouldn't it be? You won the frickin' Olympics. And I just feel like writing to them, I'm so sorry she lost.
You should. You should just write that and be like, it's 19 years later.
Yeah, but I mean, if we were to actually, mommy has no time. Mommy's really busy. Like, should we actually waste minutes writing back to these people that want us fired?
No. You can't look at that. Remember what I tell you? Do not look at any of those people. Just don't
hate
even read
hate.
It. Hate is going to hate.
Hate us because they ain't us.
My dad always used to say when I was competing, because, like, it was, like, right before the start of, you know, really, like, we didn't have social media, whatever. It's like you know, internet, like, conversations. I don't even know what they were back then. But, you know, every once in a while I'd pop up at something and I was 15 and I'd be like, oh, or a headline in a newspaper. And my dad would always tell me, they're not talking about you. You're not doing something right. If you're not part of the conversation, you're not doing something right.
That's exactly right.
So it's like, okay, I post an Instagram. Get over it.
My coach Galina, she used to tell me, because she coached Oksana Bayul, who won the Olympics in 1994. Oh, we're talking sports. She won in 1994, and Oksana had a lot of haters in Ukraine and the former Soviet Union countries. And there was actually a person that sent her a letter with dog poo smeared on it.
Oh, my God. People
and
get crazy.
Then Galina said to her, because she was crying, Oksana, and Galina was like, you know, this is lucky. This is so great. If they don't send you poop, it means they don't care. They love you. They love you, Oksana.
But it's true in skating. It's like
true.
You have these fans that just get so attached. It's almost like a delusional attachment to certain skaters. And it's so much fun in the moment while it's happening, because that's like what sports is about. You're now that you're a football fan, you like love rooting for your team. But then
I love
when
the
Pats.
Go Tommy. Goat!
But then when you leave and you like finish the show and you walk outside and you go to the grocery store, you're still not thinking about it. And then 19 years later, you're still not, you know, really focused on it. It's very crazy that sometimes in sports, people, you know, it becomes their life, you know?
Well, I think it's anything. I think it's if you get caught up in bitter feuds like Christina versus Britney, or, you know, the Red Sox versus the Yankees, and you get caught up in those things.
I wonder if, like, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC fans are still like that. Do you think?
Oh, I would have pipe bombed the hell out of the Backstreet Boys just because
I loved NSYNC.
I was so NSYNC. Yes.
Oh, me too.
But, you know, I didn't get so caught up that I would actually do it. It's just funny to talk about. And I love nostalgia. And it isn't even us, like, we obviously remember the big, like, landmark moments of our own lives. Right. March 1st, 2001 is when I won my junior world title in Sofia, Bulgaria, and I'll never forget it.
Right, they were important, like...
Important milestones.
Yeah, and
like,
it's funny.
Like, you remember your anniversaries and stuff. It's the same thing.
And it's so sweet, because I saw, so Katarina Vitt is on Instagram.
She's a former Olympic champion figure skater, everybody.
Yes, and two-time Olympic, and
she's German. She's awesome.
I mean, a legend, skating legend. And I always looked up to her, and I loved her, like, sassy little attitude. But she posted her anniversary just a few days ago, and it was, you know, I guess, I don't know who owns that, like, footage, but it's incredible to see because, it, you know, we were watching her, and what was it, 80, what was she, it was 84, right?
I mean, she won 84 and 88.
84 and 88. And, it, like, looking back, and she put that clip on, it was... It gave me chills because I was 2 years old, you know, obviously not even thought of skating. I was, you know, barely walking. And
already roller skating and making grilled cheese.
This amazing woman was making history already and would soon be like an idol of mine. And I don't know, in skating, it's a thing. It's nice to kind of look back and remember all these athletes that did great things, right?
Yeah. I mean, I want to kind of segue that conversation into something else. Because
next year?
Dare we talk about the sporting aspect of life real quick? Just like a year out from the Olympics. Last week, it was literally a year until the Pyeongchang Olympics. And that is the way we're being told to pronounce it, everyone. Pyeongchang, not Pyeongchang. Pyeongchang. Chung.
The arena is really hard to pronounce, too.
It's Ganyang.
I'm
Gangnam, Korean.
I'm going to work on that, okay?
Yeah, we're going to learn Korean before the Olympics. We'll let you all know how we do. But anyway, a year out, let's talk about where you were mentally, like where these skaters are mentally in the process right now, what it feels like. Just a quick comment so then we can talk about other more important things like Valentine's Day and Windex.
Okay. It's a craziest feeling. It feels like it's happening so fast. It's like butterflies in your stomach. You know, especially if you're one of the favorites heading in. And it's also terrifying and you feel mentally unstable.
You feel like everything you're doing is a mistake.
Everything you're doing is a mistake. You have your bad days or terrible days. You know, you try to fix your hair right. It doesn't go right. You start crying. So it's like when I tried to put my glitter eyeshadow on and it just wouldn't stick. You know, maybe I shed a tear because I'm overwhelmed.
And they didn't have glitter base back then because it was the 90s.
Right. You just had to kind of like really stick it on with your finger.
You just had to really hope that you were sweaty and sticky in your eyelids. Yeah, so it would stick to something.
But anyway, it was amazing. The year before is amazing because looking back, you just remember all those nerves and you're just, you know, working so hard because you know time is running out. And then you step into that arena the first day and it's like, you know, you walk in the open ceremonies. Like, to become an Olympian to win an Olympics obviously was a dream of mine, but to become an Olympian was, you know, my very first dream. And so experiencing what I did in Nagano was incredible.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think people preparing for next year's Olympics are already thinking in that way. In figure skating, there's still the world championships this year, but as soon as that's over, you start creating your Olympic program. So I'm sure all the top skaters already have music selected. They already have a plan, a dream. You have to be really organized in the Olympic season because all of a sudden, 365 days goes by real quick.
It really
and
does.
There you are, you know, peeing down the inside of your leg because you're standing in front of billions of people
you're
around
really
the world.
Nervous. Why do you think I call it Nagano?
Probably because that's the thing with the Olympic cities. People, when I was in Torino for the Olympics, Torino, Italy, people didn't know to call it Turin or Torino or Nagano or Nagano.
Right.
Pyeongchang or Pyeongchang.
I mean, I think it's really, it's Nagano, but I've always called it Nagano.
Yeah. I mean, London or London. I think it's just, you know, an accent.
I just, you know what I felt like? It's what I called it back then. I'm just going to keep with it.
Yeah.
You know, I like being wrong.
You know who was in Nagano? It was me.
Yeah. I don't think anyone else was there, but I was.
I was just there last summer. I went to see.
Oh, wait, we're being serious.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant because I called it wrong. Never
no,
mind.
No. No, I mean, you can call it as you wish because you were there. That's basically what I was
okay.
saying. But I was being serious. I was just there.
I know.
And I took the, you know how in Hollywood they have those star tours where you just yep. kind of sit in a bus and drive by yep. like where famous people live? Well, I went on the Tara Lipinski Nagano tour and I just kind of walked around the city
oh,
and
fun.
Thought, well, maybe she was here.
Oh,
there isn't
God.
An actual tour, guys, so don't get excited. It was just something that I thought about. Okay, so
okay.
the Olympics are a year away, blah, blah, blah.
We're excited to be there.
We're super excited. I mean, the whole thing about working with NBC is that they believed in us after Sochi and after we proved ourselves, obviously, and worked for it the same way Olympians do to make it to the Olympians. And what's cool is that they have opened us up to so many opportunities and so many things that we didn't think would ever really happen for us.
No, I mean, I don't think we ever thought, you know, coming out of Sochi, this would be our lives. And I think, you know, for me, like 8 years ago, I started down this road and knew that this would be my like next big dream. But, you know, when we sort of came together and sort of magic happened between me, you and Terry and Sochi, you know, it's pretty incredible that a big network like NBC is just going to, believe in us that much to be like, okay, we're going to make some changes and we think that you guys are great and we're going to like put you here and there. And I don't know. I think we got, you know, I'm pretty grateful for all that.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that they actually listened to, because guys, the reason that we have our current gigs and hopefully our future gigs and gigs for life as lead commentatrices for Olympics and figure skating and all that is because NBC actually listened to everyone that was doing outpourings of love and stuff to us on social media. So, you know, we're really thankful for that and we're, you know, I don't want to get mushy, actually.
Right.
Mommy hates it. Mommy hates mush.
Moving on.
But yeah, I mean, it's all you guys. And we're really thankful and really appreciative. And we work really hard for you. But moving on.
You're coming to L.A. soon.
Yeah.
In like a week and a half.
Yeah. I mean, we're covering the Beverly Hills Dog Show, which I didn't even know was a real thing.
It's a new thing.
It's a new real show.
Because NBC is creating this new show for Easter, I guess.
Yeah, almost like we do the National Dog Show on Thanksgiving. NBC's created this Beverly Hills Dog Show for Easter, and it doesn't actually take place in Beverly Hills. It's in Palmyra or Palmolive or Pomeretto, Pomona.
Or Pomona.
It's there, and yeah, so it's really far away. But I'm excited to come to LA. And in addition to the dog show, we're actually going into some. You know, this is going to sound really industry, and I don't like it, but, you know, mommy hates industry speak. But we're going into pitch meetings about our variety show.
Yeah, it's actually, it's moving forward.
It's moving forward. So we're, yeah, we're doing
I love when we take
that.
Meetings together. We either scare them or they love us.
And also we've gotten really good at, like, smelling out whoever we're meeting with. Like, if they prefer you over me, I kind of take back seat. Like, if they're just like, oh, my God, she's so beautiful. Oh, my God, it's Tara Lipinski. Like, I'll sit in the back. And I feel like you do the same when it's, like, a girl she's queening out over
yeah,
me or
yeah.
whatever. Like, we've gotten really good at it.
We know. We know.
We've just gone into so many trying to figure out who we are as entertainers.
I'm excited about that because I love to spend time with you. Also, Dublin is going to star in
he'll
a
be
feature.
Featured in.
Yeah,
yep.
For the dog show. So
featured
I'm
on
preparing.
The Easter
I'm really preparing him for his moment. He's
You're
going
so
to
nervous.
Be a disaster.
But you know what? I'll be there. I'll carry him. I've got a strong arm and an even stronger thigh, so I can carry him if he really starts to annoy you.
Right.
We've got that coming up.
We got that.
So that's fun. I wanted to talk a little bit about, before we get into Fan Corner, I wanted to talk about some, you know, funny happenings that, you know, things that have happened to me. It's been, this is all about me. So first of all, tonight I'm getting on the ice for the first time in like 3 weeks after my last Queen of Bryant Park performance.
Right.
I took a bit of a break. Because I found that I did not love it every time I was doing it.
Right.
So I took a break and tonight I'm really nervous because it's the first time. Like, tell the kids what it's like that first time you go back on after a while.
Oh,
it hurts.
It just, when you, the first step, you kind of rock back on the blade and you're like,
oh. Why?
Why? I hate this. That immediate, and then you like skate and you're like, is the ice extra soft or slushy or am I just feeling really slow?
Why do my legs not work right? Am I slowly stroking out? Like, it's an awful feeling, but I'm super nervous about that. But meanwhile, you're looking for music for me.
Right.
My third new gala program.
Yes, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, we announced it here on the podcast, and we will find a way that you choreograph the new one.
You know what this leads us to?
What?
Because all of our lead-ins make so much sense. Fan Corner.
Fan Corner! Okay, so...
Oh, by the way, corner. Since I was staying with Amanda and Josh, Josh was really... I told him you were quite, you know, surprised and liked his suggestion of Mummy's Favorites.
I don't remember.
Okay, so moving on. Fan Corner.
Mummy's Favorite. Yeah, speaking of, though, there is a woman that was very bold. Her name's Natalie Penna. She actually private messaged us on Instagram. And when I see a private message pop up in our box or my own box, I always just assume it's like a naked body part because it's blurred for your safety is what it always says. But, you know, Natalie wrote us and she suggested that we call Fan Corner Fan Fair, as in like Renaissance Fair. And I just wanted to throw it out here that that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean... Johnny's not going to like any other name, guys. So
I only like Fan Corner.
He only likes Fan Corner. I have a good one.
Yeah.
Lisa Ann from Instagram. Yeah. She's a teacher, and she says that she listens to our podcast Grading Papers and that she's afraid that sometimes she's going to write on one of the papers, Mommy Hates It.
In red marker. Can you imagine?
Mommy hates it. sending you back a grade.
Oh, Lisa Ann, thank you for listening and thank you for grading papers. I'm sure our podcast is a lot more interesting than those papers. So Steph Fabulous _55 wrote us on Instagram. She comes from Washington, D.C. She asked us how we keep our skin so nice with our crazy schedules.
Well, with a lot of moisturizer.
A lot of moisturizer, a lot of sunblock.
We both love skincare, so we travel with, with the full thing. You know, toner, serum.
Yeah, I mean, at least 16 pounds.
100-proof sunscreen and a big hat.
And a large hat. You know what?
And
here's
an
the
umbrella.
Thing. We constantly spend time together, so we're constantly fulfilled from the inside, and inner beauty is what we're all in it for.
Inner beauty.
That's all BS. We just take really good care to rest enough sometimes and make sure that we're well moisturized.
But we do moisturize. Okay. So Gwen McKay from Instagram, she says she doesn't enjoy seeing Terry cheat on us when her husband is watching a golf broadcast.
Oh, which, Gwen, you are certainly right.
We agree. And Terry, if you're listening to this certain podcast, I hope you know we feel like you're cheating on us.
We're taking notes.
We
are basically training like J-Lo did in the film Enough, where she went back and you know, really took down her ex-abusive husband. Here's the thing, though. Terrence has to earn a living, too.
I do not want him cheating on us.
He does that by using his lusty vocals.
Cheating.
Okay? Golf.
It is choosing blatant, someone clear, else over cheating. The people that he's married to. Okay? That's how it is. If Todd chose someone else over me, that is cheating. So Terry, it comes down to you have cheated on us twice, actually, in a row. And
Terrence has missed two of our broadcasts.
I think we personally need flowers, apologies.
I take umbrage.
I mean,
gobble 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 gobble.
Anyways,
okay, so. I have a special piece that I thought was really spectacular simply because it comes from the University of Iowa. Zach Harrelson tweeted us and he wrote, I would subscribe to a cable service, which, you know, thanks for your dollars, Zach. I would subscribe to a cable service just to watch a late night show hosted by you two.
Isn't that sweet?
Isn't that real sweet?
Thank you.
People usually just tell us we wish you were fired, you talk too much, and we hate you.
Well, we know who they are.
We know who you are. So, Zach, it was really, really pleasant to see you phoning in, tweeting in. Honey, what else
have
we got?
We have one more. Okay, so we have Megan Glaros. I hope I'm saying that last name correctly. But she is a morning meteorologist in Chicago. And she posted a very disgruntled, funny, cute photo. And her caption was, Mommy hates going to the craft store for kids' school.
Who doesn't? I mean, construction paper.
Because she's going to have to do it anyway.
You know what I have? You know what I have a strange obsession with, though? Is glue sticks. I don't, like, snort them or anything.
Oh, I love them.
I love a glue stick.
Yeah.
I love things that adhere things to other things.
No, but I just, like, it's a memory. Don't you remember, like, the smell of Elmer's glue?
Oh, gosh. Those and the glue sticks, the purple
the
ones that go on
that
purple.
And stuck on your fingers.
Paper cement that you could roll into small balls.
Paper cement. I love paper cement.
Well, I know what I'm getting you and Todd Kapp for the wedding.
Oh.
But the last one, in keeping up with the tradition of how I started this podcast with my apologies for missing last week, this comes from Emily Delgado, who wrote us on Twitter, and I believe we actually mentioned her in Fan Corner before. Can't be sure, but she is very vocal on Twitter. She writes, Mommy... Emily, hi. She writes, Mommy hates it when you go on vacation and don't work. Here's the thing.
Tara hates it, too.
Tara hates it, too. And with that, I would like to personally thank the, you know, just literal hundreds of billions of you that listen to us every week. It is our greatest joy in life to bring you, you know,
full-hearted,
light chatter and comedy every week. We really appreciate you.
We love you.
We love you from the bottom of our hearts. As always, you can connect with us on our social media, at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. The only entries that will be considered for Fan Corner appear on at Tara and Johnny, but we want you to get with us on all of the platforms there. But until next time, we love you and
bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.